We again read God's word from the Gospel according to John at chapter 4. John chapter 4. This evening, as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 39 to 42. We'll read verses 27 to 30 as well. Verse 27. And upon this, his disciples came and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou, or what talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And at verse 39, and especially these words, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world.'" They said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world." We have here a spiritual awakening in a most unlikely place. We have many Samaritans, of all people, coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. And they come to faith in this unlikely place through an unlikely witness, this somewhat notorious woman of Samaria. What a lesson. One person converted can bring blessing to a whole family, to a whole community. That's what you find here. What an encouragement to you, dear believer, to be a witness. Because God can bless that witness. And it can ripple out and influence many others. What an encouragement to hope for the extension of the kingdom of God. One can lead to many being brought in. That's often happened. And God can still do it today. How was it that all these people in this city were converted, brought to faith? Indeed, what does it mean to believe? How is it someone actually comes to faith in Christ? Important questions. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're struggling. You know your need, but, well, you're not too sure if you have come to faith, or you're not too sure how to come to faith. Well, let's learn from this incident. We notice 4 things. The first is this. The testimony of the woman made an impact on them. The testimony of the woman made an impact on them. Indeed, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." Well, think of her testimony. She was a changed woman. There she was, excitedly, returning from the well without her water pot, because she had a much more important errand to undertake. She wanted to tell the people of her city of her exciting discovery that she had found the Messiah. And these people that she spoke to, they see her, and they can tell that she is not the woman she once was. She's no longer hiding her sin. She is no longer keeping to herself. Come see a man that told me all things, whatever I did. And how she must have explained how Christ had spoken to her, not just of her adultery with her marriages, but many other things. And that unfolding of herself as a sinner, as she was brought to speak to Jesus, the stranger who knew all about her. Well, she's no longer hiding her sin. She'll admit it. And she'll openly acknowledge the folly of her past life, what she thought she was doing, enjoying herself, how stupid, how foolish, how often it had caused her grief and pain. She had no real peace. Now she had found peace because she had found the Messiah. And she had found one worthy of her love and worthy of her devotion. And she's rejoicing in this fact. She gives a word of testimony. And the people can see what a change has come over her. Friends, do you see the power of a sincere personal witness to Christ? Never forget that. You're concerned for family. You're concerned for your workmates, for your neighbours. Often you don't know what to say to them. Perhaps someone from a false cult comes to the door, you don't know what to say to them either. Well, there's one thing you can say to all these people. If you know Christ, you can tell them that you know him. Perhaps how you came to him, what he means to you, how you love him, what a change has come into your life, and that that is what you want for them. How powerful is a personal testimony. Never forget that. And though you may be able to say nothing else, you can say, come, and here now tell you what the Lord did for my soul. She had a testimony, the change there was in her own life. And you'll see how she testifies to Jesus that she has found a Messiah. She's found a Messiah that she had longed for, that they all needed. The stranger. She'd never met him before. And yet he has unfolded her life story, as it were, before her. The one who knows all things. This is no mere man. This is none other than the Christ. And as he teaches her some things, because we're told a very limited amount of what she was taught here, she has come to peace. This man has changed my life. And he can change yours as well. Come. Come and see him. Is not this the Christ? What a wonderful testimony. Friend, can you make that testimony? If it's your testimony, make sure you make it. Be like this woman. Unashamed. Both of what has happened to you and of who Christ is. Well, notice the impact. It's obvious that they received the word. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. They received the word. They'll listen to her. They can see the change. They can't deny it. And therefore, and hearing that this man has exposed this woman's past, though he was a stranger, they are prepared to accept the conclusion, he is Christ the Messiah. Come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, they're agreeing with her, and they receive the testimony. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean that they had come to saving faith, but they're at least acknowledging truth about Christ. Their interest has been aroused. Indeed, it seems that there is more than interest aroused. It seems that they are prepared to assent to that truth. Yes, we will agree with you. We can see that this person who has told you such things, he must be the Christ. But they have not yet come to a personal encounter with him. They've not come to him. And that's something that's significant. And something that you and I must remember. What is faith? Faith is more than just knowing certain things about Jesus. It is knowing more than just that there is a certain message about him. Yes, we must know about him, but faith includes trust. Faith is a coming to Jesus. It is a receiving and resting, a leaning upon Jesus. I'm leaning on the pulpit. I'm resting my body on the pulpit. Are you resting your soul on Christ? That's faith. It's one thing to know this pulpit can hold me up. It's another thing to rest on it, to lean my whole weight on it. There's a difference between knowledge and faith, that coming to Christ. It is good to know facts, friends, about Christ. It is good to be taught the truth. We must be learning the truth more and more. But we must know him. Not just know about him. Now, friends, we must realize that various things may make an impact upon us, yet not lead to saving faith. You must ensure that you just don't have a general impact. The truth doesn't make this general impact where you acknowledge certain things, but it doesn't actually lead you to Christ. Your upbringing. Most of you, if not all, will have had a good upbringing. Your parents kept worship, taught you the truth, taught you were taught in the Sabbath school, you were under the sound of the gospel. You think of the ministers and the elders and the godly people that were. These things made an impact on you, and they were all testifying to you. The gospel is true. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And you wouldn't deny that. Well, that's good. But the question is, has that led you to Christ himself? You acknowledge the Bible as God's word. You would hear it even as these people went out to hear Christ. You hear many sermons. You have a respect for it. You acknowledge it as the word of God. You will listen to sermons and you're discerning. And you can understand what is a good sermon from a bad sermon. You can detect if there is error in sermons. Well, these things are good. But we may understand much without coming to Christ. You may have seen the conversion of others. A parent, a brother, a sister, a friend. And these things may have come home to you. And you know something is different about them. That you cannot explain in just ordinary, natural terms. It's the work of God. It's the power of grace. And you see the reality and, well, you may have a certain envy of God's people. But for all that, you're still in the place you always were. Without Christ. And therefore, without a saving interest in him and a saving relationship with God without hope in this world. We can see the reality of the gospel, the reality of the truth of God's word, and yet not of Christ. What a dangerous position to be in. It's good for the testimony to make an impact, but friend, you need more. Notice secondly, they made a personal examination of the issues involved. We read that these Samaritans, they went out to him and besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Well, you find that they examined the reality of her claims. That was a wise thing to do. She said, "He is the Christ. Come and see." And so they go to speak to Christ. And they listen and they find out for themselves. They're not content just to have the testimony of someone else. "I have found the Messiah." Let's find out more. Let's examine this. That's a wise thing to do. Friend, it is your duty to ascertain the truth. And as people commend Christ to you with their testimony, and as they speak to you of your need, what should you do? Well, examine it by the one standard that we have been given, the Word of God. Remember the Bereans? Paul's in Berea. He comes to that city and he starts to explain that there's this man who was born in Palestine, who grew up and died, and was indeed he was crucified. He lived a perfect life, performed miracles, and he died on the cross as a sacrifice for his people. He is the Christ. And he shows from parts of the Old Testament, no doubt, this man is a Messiah. What did they do? They searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. He's making bold claims. Let's investigate. Let's make sure we know the truth. You see, it's one thing just to acknowledge the gospel's true. The Bible's the word of God. The gospel's true. I need to be saved. It's another thing actually to be persuaded, having studied these things. Surely that's what you should want to do. And you see, they were examining the relevance of her claim, because if her claim was true, that this man had exposed her and told her all these things, and that he is this wonderful teacher, he is a Messiah, well, they must accept him as the Messiah. So the gospel comes to you. And it tells you to think through the implications of what these things mean. The conversion of another, well, it means you need to be converted. They're delivered. But you need that as well. There are the claims of Christ upon you, which you must respond to by receiving him for yourself. And if you will have him as your Savior, you must come to a personal trust in him. So notice thirdly, they had a personal encounter with Jesus. They go out and they listen and they end up being able to say, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." They personally discovered he was really the Messiah and Savior. They examine his claims. And the more they listen, the more convinced they are that he is the Messiah and that he is the Savior of the world. That is, the one who is a Savior not merely for Jews, but for Samaritans and Gentiles as well. And as they listen to Christ speaking, everything is pointing to the fact that he is the only Savior and that he is the Savior that they need. And they come to trust in him. Now think of it. What was there really to persuade these people? Jesus did no miracles, as far as we can tell. He just spoke to this woman, and then he spoke to these people, and they believed. There's no evidence of any miracle whatsoever. There's a lesson there. You and I do not need a miracle. Sometimes we might think, well, if only we lived in the age of miracles, then surely that would bring people to faith. They're such skeptics. They're such unbelievers. It's so difficult to get a hearing. But friends, the word of God and the witness that you make to that word and to God's experience, your own experience of God's grace in your life, does not need either a miracle or a lengthy defense as to why there is a God and as to why you should believe in the word of God. The word of God is itself sufficient to show to people that it is the truth. Remember that. The word of God is self-authenticating. There is all that is needed in the word of God to show that it is not a cunningly devised fable, but it's actually the truth of the living God that you and I must embrace. It's its own witness. Now, that's a wonderful thing. Because it means that if you're here tonight and, well, you're just an ordinary person, how are you going to be convinced that this word is the truth? You're not like some of these clever people in the universities who can study all sorts of things and come to certain conclusions. You don't need to. You read the scriptures. And if you read them with an unbiased mind, you will be convinced that they are the truth of God. And as you, dear believer, seek to be a witness for Christ, and you're confronted by people, remember, it's not being able to argue them into a corner and to show the foolishness of their own ideas and that somehow the gospel is better. The word of God as it is its own witness to its truth. And you don't need a miracle. Indeed, what did Jesus say to the rich man in hell? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them read that. Let your brothers read that. If one were to come back from the dead, still they would not believe. Is that true? Well, think of the Pharisees and what they wanted to do to Lazarus, who after 4 days in the grave rose again. What did they do? Let's kill Lazarus. Bury the evidence. We don't want to admit what is the obvious truth. How crazy is unbelief? How blind? How prejudiced? Why do people not accept the word of God? It is because their hearts are blinded to the truth by the evil one, because they are prejudiced, because they do not want this man, Jesus Christ, to rule over them. Remember that, friends. If you recoil against God's word as it challenges you, remember the problems, your own wicked heart, and your refusal to accept the truth. Because if you look at this word, what does it show you? Well, it shows you things that only God could show. It reveals your own heart for what it is and reveals a wonderful divine way of salvation. You think of how it was written by so many men over thousands of years, and it is one united work. You think of all the prophecies that were fulfilled. You think of the heavenliness of the matter. What's it saying? This is not the word of men, but the word of God. Pray for the Spirit of God to teach you. Oh, we do need that because of our own prejudice. But it's because of our prejudice and our rebellion that we need it. And you, dear believer, realize that God's word, as you read it and as it says, as it cries out to you, this is the truth. I can identify so much with it. Rejoice. It speaks to you. This is the truth. And don't be shaken in your faith by the foolish claims of the skeptics and the ungodly. And if you're a seeker tonight, read that word and let it speak to you. And you'll identify it as the truth. The truth that can bring you to Christ. Because it points you to Christ. The one in whom you will find salvation. Well, they came to Christ, and they had a personal discovery that this was indeed the truth. Are you here tonight and you're not converted? What must you do? You must seek to read the scriptures and listen to sermons so that the truth becomes personal to you. So that you will accept the relevance of them. So that you will take this as a message, like a letter sent personally to you, addressing you, challenging you, warning you of your sin and the danger that you're in as a sinner of a lost eternity, and pointing you to the Savior. And saying, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You must take it as a personal message to you. That is to relate it to yourself. There's a great danger, you see, in having all these truths as isolated facts, detached facts, which really are, on one level, quite interesting, but another level, don't affect your life. There are so many things in the news today that don't affect your life. You hear about dreadful weather in some part of the world. Very interesting. You may sympathise with the people there, but it doesn't affect your life. If you hear there's a cold blast coming, there's going to be snow and it's going to affect you, well, that makes a difference. It's a personal message for you. And you think of how you'll work your way through the week and how the weather might affect you. Well, the same way with God's word. You must take it as a personal message. That's what it is. And perhaps one reason you get nowhere is because you're not taking the truth and applying it to yourself. Not listening to the claims of Christ as he demands your heart, as he warns you of your sin, and as he presents his offers of mercy. They personally discovered he was the Messiah, but then what happened? They embraced him as their own Messiah and Savior. now we believe not because of thy saying. Well, that stirred an interest, yes, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. We know he certainly is the Saviour. We've heard him ourselves and we believe this ourselves. That's what's happened. They have come to embrace him so that they can see that the Saviour of the world is their Saviour. Isn't that a beautiful title, the Saviour of the world? It's not saying that Christ died for all and every person that has ever lived. It's not saying that. But what it's saying is that he's not just for the Jews, he's for the Gentiles. To him shall the gathering of the nations be, the peoples be. And the peoples are made up of individuals. The only Saviour for the world, accessible to the world. And therefore, if you take him, he shall be yours. Because he is the Saviour of the world. You can go to him, perhaps you wonder, well, have I a right to take him to be my Saviour? Well, take that title, Saviour of the world, and say, well, I'm in the world. I'm one of the nations of the world. He's a Saviour for such. And as one who needs him, I will go to him and trust in him. And has he not said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, Paul, in writing to the Galatians, could say, knowing that a man is justified, made right with God, he's justified, not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Knowing that it's faith and not works, we have believed. We're resting. We're leaning the whole of our weight upon him that we might be saved, not by works, but by faith. Is that where you're going wrong? It's one thing to know he's the Saviour, but you must embrace him and say, I will have him as mine. If we were living in a hot climate, dry climate, when you're thirsty, and you had someone with only a few bottles of water to sell, and there they were for sale, offered at such a cost, well, you're gasping for a drink, what would you do? The money would be out. You'd be grabbing a hold of one of these bottles. That one will be mine. Here's the money. Ah, well, the gospel is without money and without price. Whoever one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price. But you've got to say, he shall be mine. A story is told of a missionary who was in a tropical country. This is a way back, perhaps in the 19th century. And he was speaking to the natives in that country and explaining that sometimes water becomes hard, turns into ice, becomes solid. And most of the people couldn't believe it. They'd never seen that. Water can't become hard. We know what water's like. But one man did. He accepted the word of the missionary because he knew the missionary spoke the truth. But he'd never actually seen this thing happen. And one day he came to Britain, and it was winter time. And the water froze. And he saw it becoming solid. And that people could even walk on the ice on the solid water. And he did that. He knew beforehand But now he trusted that ice, as it were, to hold him up. Coming to faith in Christ is knowing certain things about him, and therefore venturing all on him. Like the man walking on the ice. Have you ventured all in Christ? Well, notice just briefly in conclusion, their faith grew as they had fellowship with Christ. We read that they persuaded the Lord to remain there for 2 days. They wanted to be in Christ's presence. And so they constrained him to stay there. And it's quite amazing. Here he was in Samaria, content to be with them for this short time, no doubt teaching those who were seeking and building up those who had come to faith in Christ. What do you see? God's people. They want to learn more about the Saviour. That's one of the marks of actually coming to faith in Christ. Well, I want to learn more about him. And I want to be in his presence. I've come to love him. And I want to learn more about him. And they're desiring to be taught. Friend, you want to hear the voice of Christ. As you read the Bible, are you saying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth"? Let the voice of Christ, don't make it the voice of Christ to me. As you hear the preaching of the word, well, Christ, through the preaching of the word, speaks the truth. Lord, let me hear the voice of Christ. Teach me, build me up in the faith. And here they are, wanting to be in Christ, wanting to be in his presence. And there's Christ, willing to teach. Willing to teach the new convert, and yes, willing to teach the seeker. What's the lesson? Ask him to teach you. You may have been following for many years, but don't we all still need to be taught much? There's still much to learn. Or it may be you are seeking him. Well, say, "Lord, stay and teach me, and don't leave till I'm brought to thyself." And how did their faith grow? Well, these people, their faith grew with fellowship, through fellowship with Christ. Newborn, weak believers, but learning and growing, having spent 2 days with Christ, and they're able to see, this is the Christ, the Saviour of the world. They'd learned a lot. A stranger. And remember, these Samaritans, they had abandoned so much of the truth, and now they can confess, this Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. They're doing more than what many of the Jews were doing. And their faith is increasing, and their love is growing. Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? There's a sign of life where there's growth. There's a sign of health where there's growth in faith and growth in love. And the more you grow, well, the more you will realize you need to grow. You know, as God's people get on, the more they realize how little they understand. I'm sure when I came out of college, I thought, I've got a good grasp of theology. And the more I go on, the more I can see so many things I don't quite have such a good grasp of. So much to learn. So many things to grow in. So many sins to put to death that I hadn't seen before. That's the testimony of God's people. But they're growing. And sometimes their growth is seen in these negative ways as well as the positive ways. What a wonderful testimony then we have here from this woman. She was brought to know the Saviour and brought to trust in the Saviour. Make sure, friend, you don't just have knowledge. Make sure you have faith. And don't stop till you can see, he is mine. And then keep on seeking him, that you might grow in grace. Let us pray.